This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Sugarman Stoughton.
I know you are, Pete. Okay, well, let's face it. Even those of us who don't eat much added sugar, and then there's Pete,
right,
who eats added sugar, probably we have an overabundance of sugar in our diets without the added sugar. And for children, it's even worse, you know, because most of the things they love in their diet, because somehow most children don't love kale from the get-go, have either added hidden sugars, you know, things like yogurt, cereal, even bread and orange juice. Our guest, Dr. Emily Ventura, is an experienced nutrition educator, a public health advocate, a writer, and a cook. She completed her master's in public health and a doctorate of philosophy in health behavior research at the University of Southern California. She's going to tell us how damaging sugar is and how it is literally putting our children's lives at risk. Her new book that she's co-written with Dr. Michael Gorin, who is a USC professor of pediatrics and program director for diabetes and obesity at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, is called Sugar Proof. And we look forward to this conversation. I think it's a conversation that we always need to revisit as a reminder. But Dr. Emily Ventura, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Lynn and Pete. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, sugar, how are we getting along in this sugar world? Because it seems as though, I don't know, 20 or so years ago, we started realizing and learning about how much sugar really is in things that we never really thought about before. Are we starting to lessen the amount of sugar that we add to things like cereal and yogurt?
You know, there's so much deceptive marketing going on, and 70% of all processed foods and 80% of snacks marketed to children have added sugar in them. And what's so confusing now for parents is that a lot of these sources of sugar sound really healthy. So it might be like fruit juice concentrate that's added to rice cakes or put into yogurts or put into a kid's smoothie. And those things sound healthy, but what we're seeing is there's been a huge increase in fructose in our food supply. And this has created a whole host of problems, health problems that oftentimes go undetected for children and adults.
Yeah.
So we're seeing, you know, disruptions in digestion, changes in the gut microbiome, and even a silent epidemic of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which, you know, oftentimes goes undetected until the consequences are really severe and can even require a transplant.
Wow. So fatty liver disease, how much sugar consumption, and I know it's a mounting thing over a lifetime, but say a young child starts in on things that may not have overt or added sugar, but there's sugar all along, as you say, hidden in some way through fruit juice or fructose. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like some children just have that appetite for sugar. And I don't know, why is that?
Well, it's a natural adaptation and, you know, protective mechanism too. Breast milk is sweet, and so kids are born, you know, with the propensity for liking that. And then, you know, think back, you know, way long ago when kids were crawling around on the forest floor and, you know, they wouldn't be safe if they're eating something like a bitter toxic berry. So we do have like a natural protective mechanism to prefer sweeter foods. But what we're seeing is that those preferences can be accelerated based on exposure in utero. So fructose consumption when mother's expecting can actually be passed to the infant and accentuate that preference for sweets. And same during breastfeeding and then during weaning and, you know, all these foods now that are given to babies and toddlers. Almost 40% of the products for babies and toddlers these days have sugar as either the first or the second ingredient. And what that does is it reinforces sweet taste preferences that, you know, stick with children for, you know, later in life as well. Oh. So, you know, it's difficult. And also the sweeteners. So it's not just regular sugars, but it's also the low-calorie sweeteners now that are found in our food supply in greater abundance that are causing problems.
And I remember hearing when I was in college that we consumed, as normal humans, 3 pounds of corn products. And the majority of that was fructose corn syrup. And you highlighted in your text that it's about 20 teaspoons a day. Is that correct, that we're consuming about 20 teaspoons of sugar products a day?
Well, that's just of fructose. So actually, you know, the numbers kind of peaked in the year 2000 when Americans were having 45 teaspoons of sugar per day on average, which is just a ton of sugar. It's so much more. If you think back in 1750, during the American colonial period, the average person was consuming 4 pounds of sugar per year, which is just 1 teaspoon a day. So there's been huge increases in our food supply, but most specifically in fructose intake.
And just for our audience to visualize, 20 to 40 teaspoons, and sometimes we confuse teaspoons and tablespoons, but either way, a spoonful of sugar makes me think of Mary Poppins. And so
right.
You're saying it doesn't make the world go round.
No. And, you know, I just to take a step back, I wanted to point out we are not advocating that parents take all sugar out of their children's diet. And what we're advocating is just a way that parents can raise kids to be able to self-regulate and to become more aware of where all these sugars are coming from, and to just even broader than that, to enjoy whole foods and unprocessed foods and more fruits and vegetables and things that just naturally don't have added sugar in them.
Well, I have two children, one's 6 and one's 11, and one would certainly self-regulate. The other would sleep and dream and eat it every day, every moment, if given the opportunity. What we see is when either of them, whether they regulate or not, we see a dramatic change in behavior. Is that normal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I'm also a mom. My two boys are 5 and 7. And, you know, what I have learned through research and through my work in the community also rings completely true at home. So I see it with breakfast. If I let my kids have something sweet at breakfast with not too much protein, then I see their energy levels peak really quickly, and then they start getting irritable and asking for more snacks. Whereas if I give them something that's more savory in the morning, do so much better throughout the course of the day.
Emily, it seems to me that when my kids were little, it seemed very difficult to get them to eat things that weren't sort of simple carbohydrates. Like, we try to avoid, mm-hmm. you know, the really obvious sugar. I never started out the day with them with, you know, a box of cereal or any of that. But just the fact that they're eating a lot of, oh, like quesadillas and shells and cheddar and, mm-hmm. you know, those things that children
right.
just seem to be so attracted to, those things create more of a sugar craving, don't they? I mean, they do in me. That's why I can't ever start the day with a simple carbohydrate, or I'll just crave sugar the rest of the day.
Right. It's true. So this is, you know, this is also about refined carbohydrates, which quickly are converted to sugar in the body. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. I think one thing I noticed with my kids is that they, especially when they're younger, don't really want foods mixed all the time. You know, so a lot of times parents, you know, try something like trying to hide vegetables in different foods or mixing everything together, which kids, you know, don't always appreciate. So I think you just have to kind of try different approaches. And one thing that's been really helpful with my kids and with the kids that I've worked with as well is getting them involved in the kitchen and familiarizing them with different fruits and vegetables and involving them and picking them out and trying them and preparing them in different ways. And that tends to really lead to a greater acceptance of more of a variety of foods.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Emily Ventura. She has co-written a new book called Sugar Proof: The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk and What You Can Do. Let's talk a little more about fatty liver and the dangers for children. You know, to what degree is this sugar consumption? Is this a kid who is obese? Is this a kid who is drinking soda all day long instead of hydrating with water? Or is it just a kid who eats, you know, a regular amount of sugar with a few treats here and there? And who is this?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's an interesting study done. It was an autopsy study looking at children who died of accidental causes. And they examined their livers, and they found that 13% of these children met the criteria for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And among the children who were obese, that number rose to 38%. So, you know, we know that if you are overweight, you might be more likely to have this condition, but you don't necessarily have to be. And, you know, fructose has been called alcohol without the buzz. So we know that fructose has a very similar effect on the liver as does alcohol. So even if your child's not overweight, but having large amounts of juice or, you know, other sugars that are high in fructose, you know, they could be at risk and you may not know it.
Well, in your book, you definitely mention all the pros and cons of the sugar. And then you get it really practical for your readers. And you bring in a 7-day and a 28-day challenge, as well as recipes and other content to help parents. And it's funny that you mentioned, you know, fructose is the alcohol without a hangover. I am going to disagree. Mm-hmm. If I were looking at this 7-day no sugar challenge, I would probably, and I love sugar, I would probably go through a sugar hangover. Is there a fallout of doing this 7-day challenge?
That's detox.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, interestingly, you know, as we know, sugar can be addictive. And so some of the same, you know, withdrawal symptoms and cravings really do mimic the ones that are more commonly associated with, you know, alcohol or drugs. So we tell families all about that. And, you know, day one and day two of this 7-day family challenge can be difficult. You know, there's definite, you know, effects on mood, and you know, people tend to feel more irritable on those first 2 days. But as the week goes on, they're able to adjust and find different things that they can have that still, you know, satisfy a sweet tooth. That don't have added sugar in them.
So, you know, what can be my substitute?
Well, so we have over 35 recipes in the book, and we specifically made those recipes so they would work with our challenges. So you can make something like our no-bake chocolate sesame treats, which are really satisfying and chocolatey, and they don't have added sugar in them. We have muffins, we have cake, we have different ideas for snacks and you know, regular breakfast foods as well.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, so Emily, a couple years ago, and you know, as I'm thinking about it, it was probably more than 2 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago. I went for 2 months with no added sugar. What I did allow myself was a lot of fruit because, you know, mm-hmm. I just have that little bit of sweet tooth, and the fruit really satisfied it. But what is your opinion on that? You know, I did eat a lot of dates and figs because those are super sweet. And, you know, I suppose you might say that my sugar craving probably never really went away, even though I was very pure and not having any other sugar.
Right. Yeah, I mean, most people can tolerate, you know, 2 or 3 servings of fruit a day without problems, in kids as well. You certainly want to discuss it with your pediatrician, but the goal really would be to space it out. And so, you know, don't have 2 or 3 servings of fruit all in one sitting. Maybe, you know, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon is a good idea. And generally, you know, fruit is balanced with fiber. So if you're having an apple, but you're eating the peel, then the rate of absorption of the sugar slows down thanks to the fiber. And it doesn't typically, you know, it's not typically a problem.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of benefits. Fruit is a good source of fiber, a good source of vitamins and minerals and nutrients.
I've heard people sort of bashing the notion of all these smoothies that we drink because it somehow destroys the fiber. But it's a whole, you know, it's all there if you don't peel it before you put in the apple or whatever it is.
Right.
Does the act of just chopping it up so finely, does it really do something to the fiber?
There's some debate about that. I mean, it does damage the structure of the fiber, but like you said, it's still there. Our philosophy on that is that a smoothie here and there is fine, and we have some recipes for smoothies in our book. What we really suggest that families avoid is, you know, smoothies that have fruit juice concentrates or smoothies that have juice as a base, or really large smoothies. You know, so if you go buy one at a place like Jamba Juice, the smoothie can just be huge, and it's, you know, an excessive amount of total sugar and even added sugar, depending on what's in it. So, you know, smoothies, I think, if you're careful about how you make them, they can be a good thing.
Yeah, okay. I just got a text from a listener, and I'm just going to ask the question because I've never heard of the Warburg effect, and this listener would like to know about the Warburg effect and cancer/glucose.
You know, that's not really something that I've studied up on, so I don't feel like I'm able to address that. But please refer your reader and send us an email, and maybe we can look more into it together.
Oh, that's a great idea. What is your email address?
Emily@sugarproofkids.com.
Excellent.
Or hello@sugarproofkids.com.
Great.
Well, I certainly appreciate also that you, even your email advocates for sugarproof kids, not adults. And so for all of us as listeners, we are guilt-free to continue to eat. Is that sugar, sprinkle sugar, sleep in sugar, right?
So wrong, Pete.
What? Emily, come on, get my back here.
It's all about moderation.
Modeling for our kids, right?
Exactly.
And that is so true. It's back to that mantra that I complain about parents saying, do as I say, not as I do. That's so wrong.
Right.
Because they always do as you do. So we do have to, you included, Pete, have to be a good model. Well, again, the book is The Hidden Dangers of Sugar That Are Putting Your Child's Health at Risk and What You Can Do. It's sugar-proof. So thank you, Emily. Pete and I are looking forward to our 28 days coming up with no sugar.
Wonderful.
We'll let you know how it goes. We'll send you an email.
How many shows do we have?
I would love to hear from you.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us on The Mountain
Thank
Life.
You so much, Lynn and Pete. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
All right. Take care. Wow. Okay. So, Pete, really.
She's looking me straight through a plexiglass to very seriously, audience, and she is really seriously challenging me. I'd rather go back to our 100K avert challenge.
I know.
I'm almost there.
But I'm putting out the challenge to you because truly after about 3 days, that addiction thing, it goes away if you just go cold turkey. One thing I didn't get a chance to ask her about is the power bars, energy bars. I think here, you know, I see this a lot, you know, people recreating, they're throwing a couple energy bars in their packs. And I just wonder, they have such high sugar, but then they're also starting to balance them out with a lot of protein and they're reducing the sugar. So at least hopefully the idea is that it's weaning us off a bit.
Well, and also for those who are doing endurance sports, whether it's running, biking, whatever it might be, is goos and gels.
Yes.
They're packed with sugar. And
sugar.
There are a few alternatives out there that are really wonderful, but it's pretty hard not to just chew on those gummy bears and those gels and goos. So
True.